morning. Doug and I are excited to be able to share a little bit with you. Today we're going to talk about God's purpose for us as individuals and his purpose for us as a church. We're going to look at God's calling on all of our stories. You're going to hear from me for a little bit, and then you'll hear from Doug for a little bit, and then we're actually going to pray together as a congregation for the things God has set out for us this summer, so you will be active participants. But before we start, I just wanted us to take some time, a few moments, to hear God's word to us. We're going to do this a little Lectio Divina style, which means divine listening. You are going to hear four passages, and I will repeat each passage twice. From Matthew, there are two passages, and there are two passages from John. Our prayer during this part is that you would listen to the voice of God, that you would set aside all the things you have to do today, that you would set aside your journey for tomorrow, that you would set aside the messes of the past, and you would come just to listen to what he wants to say to you right now in his word. Listen for a phrase, or a whole scripture, or a word that stands out to you. I'd like you to be in the posture of listening, so you are welcome to close your eyes as you hear these passages. You will hear them twice, but let me pray to prepare our hearts. Jesus, thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit to remind us of every word that you have said. Awaken our souls to hear what you want us to hear through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 5, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill is not hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put a bowl on it. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill is not hidden. Neither do you light a lamp and put a bowl on it. Instead, you put it on a stand so that it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." In John 15, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." In Matthew 28, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. In John 20, Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus, I thank you that your words are eternal, that you showed us exactly what our purpose on this planet is here for. Open our hearts. Let us take the word that you spoke to us into our stories this week. In Jesus' name, amen. My freshman year in college was tumultuous. I had a very difficult year. I knew I needed a change, so I decided that I was going to go on what I called my honeymoon with Jesus. So I left Colorado and went to a private Christian school in California. That year was unbelievable. I spent the mornings walking with Jesus, talking with him, praying, enjoying the beautiful California weather. I spent the afternoons in classes, understanding more about God's word and understanding about the world that he made. And then I would spend the evenings with other believers as we ate together, we laughed together, we worshiped together, we played together, all of us focusing on Jesus. I definitely would say that the purpose of that year was to know him. I got to know him better. But as that year came to a close, I knew that that wasn't all that there was. There had to be something more, otherwise I would be in heaven. It wasn't just to know him, but it was to make him known in the world. So at the end of that year, I decided I'm going to step out to the second part of my purpose, to make him known. So I decided I would transfer to a very secular university here in Colorado, the University of Colorado in Boulder. And I lived on the dorm, in the dorm for 3 years, specifically for the purpose that I wanted to be a light in that dark place. I wanted to tell people about Jesus consistently. And that's why I was there. To know him and to make him known. Matthew 5, that first passage says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill is not hidden, nor do you light a lamp and put a bowl on it. Instead, you put it on a stand to be enjoyed by everyone in the house." You are the light of the world. That's what Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew. If you read the Gospel of John, The idea of light is actually one of the main themes through that book. And in that book, Jesus doesn't say, "You are the light of the world." He says, "I am the light of the world." And yet Matthew goes on to say, "You are the light of the world." It's this beautiful piece of that was Jesus' identity to be the light of the world, and he transfers it to us to be the light of the world. That is why we are here, to be the light in this world. We are his representatives. We are his ambassadors. Now, I know that some of you may say, well, Misha and Siddi and Johan, they are lights in our community. That is their job. That is their vocation. Being a light, it is not a job. It is not a vocation. It is the identity of everyone who says, "I follow Jesus." That is your purpose while you are on this planet. A light chases away the darkness and illuminates to the world who Jesus is. It shows how he loves. That's what you do. As a light, you show who he is and you show what he does. Matthew also goes on to say in chapter 5, "You are the light of the world. Therefore, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Our purpose is to show the world who he is. So, how we live here should show how he lived here. And how we love here should be a mirror of how he loved here. And how we serve here should be how he served. How we forgive each other is how he forgives. We are a mirror. We are a light. I work in a school, and I am a math teacher to 114-year-old kids. And I see 100 of them every day. I am on summer break, and it has been glorious just to read and to be still and quiet. We have an empty nest at the moment, and so it's quiet in our home. And my life is not quiet when I'm at school. But of those 14-year-olds, I love what I do. And yes, I teach math, and I teach the quadratic formula. You guys probably know that. I teach all kinds of things about math, and yes, I even teach statistics. Lizbeth, yes. But honestly, what I really teach is what Jesus looks like and how he acts. The highest compliment that I get at the end of the year is not, "Mrs. Holm, thanks for helping me understand algebra." It is this: cards from different students that say, "Mrs. Holm, thank you for showing me what Jesus is like. I want to be like him. I want to be like you. I want to love him like you love him." The highest compliment. 1 John 4 says this: "In this world, we were like him." In this world, we were like him. The deeds that we do, the way that we live, is our identity. It is who he is living in us. We are that light. He chose us for that. If we look at the second passage, that is found in John 15. And John 15 says, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." I love that concept, that I didn't choose him. I remember choosing him when I was 8 years old, and I walked right down the aisle and said, "I want to know Jesus." Maybe it was during the vacation Bible school, most likely. "I want to know Jesus. But the beautiful piece is actually before the beginning of time, he chose me to be a representative for his world so I could help other people come to know Jesus. I would say for you all, I want you to pause and think of your family. Picture your mom and dad, maybe brothers and sisters, nieces or nephews. Maybe some of you have children. Your family. Do you know that God chose you to be a light to them? That is why you are here. You are here to be a light to those people. Whether they will listen to your words or not, hopefully they will see your life and realize it is different. It looks a lot like Jesus' life. Think about your neighborhood. Who lives on your left? Who lives on your right? Who lives across from you? Do you see them? God placed you in that apartment, in that home, because you are his representative and you are his ambassador to those people. Think of your job, wherever you work, whatever you do. You are his representatives in the darkness to those people. This is one thing that I can be sure of, honestly, completely sure of. I know that he chose me to be a light. And I can be sure that all of you who say, I am a Jesus follower, that I can say with surety that he chose you to be a light.
Well, as Carrie so wonderfully said, we are to shine that light of Jesus, that light that he has put already in us through the presence of the Holy Spirit and because of the cleansing that he's done of us and our redemption, so that we can go out and talk about him, to live a life that's worthy of him to those who are around us. And today we are talking about going outside the walls of the church. And we're on a series here about simple church. And part of that is this of going and being those lights. Well, before Jesus ascended back into heaven to sit at the right hand of God and to rule and to reign, he gave a commission to his followers. And it's important. We have it in each of the Gospels, the four Gospels, and also in the book of Acts, that Jesus gives a commission. And like in Mark, in his commission, it says, go and preach the gospel to all creation. And so that's the starting point of the good news about Jesus, to tell others about that good news. If we go to Matthew 28, Matthew starts with the word go, and then he says, and make disciples. And if you study that passage, you see that actually make disciples is the main command. It's as we go, as we're involved in people's lives around us, whether it be our family, whether it be people in our neighborhood, people that we work with, wherever we go, we are to make disciples. Now, how many of you have seen the series The Chosen? All right, a lot of you have. So The Chosen basically is about the life of Jesus, and a lot of the story is about his interaction with those he chose to be his followers, his disciples. And so we see from that show what a lot of times what you know we read about in the scriptures, that being a disciple of Jesus, yes, it's learning the scriptures. Yes, it's praying. Yes, it's about coming together to worship together. But it's also about going out and helping others to know who Jesus is. Terry said it so well, I'm just going to fast forward over a lot of my stuff. Let me talk a little bit, though, about this discipleship, right? Back in that day, men would latch themselves on to a rabbi, if that rabbi said yes to them, and they would follow around that rabbi wherever they went, right? They would leave their homes, leave their jobs. Whenever the rabbi called, they were with the rabbi. And they would sit under the teaching of this rabbi, that what the rabbi understood about the interpretation of the scriptures. They would practice certain spiritual disciplines together, like prayer and fasting. And then they would obey what this rabbi told them that they needed to do. And so Jesus used that same model. We see this in the Chosen series. We see this in the scriptures. That as these people followed him around, and he gathered more than just men, he gathered women too around him, they would learn from him. And it wasn't just that they were learning God's word, that was principle, but they were learning who he was as the Messiah. They were experiencing this life-on-life relationship. And I think even today when we talk about discipleship, it's not just about teaching people things, it's about relationship, about actually doing it together, actually modeling it, actually seeing it. And I imagine if you're a follower of Christ, you could probably name somebody or name a variety of people who those people basically have discipled you. They have been models for you. And so this is what we see here in Matthew's Great Commission. Central. Yeah, we have to go. We have to let people know who Jesus is and invite them into that relationship with him and be restored to God, but also to God's people. And that's a big part of who we are as a church. Let me mention a couple different things it says here in the passage. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, whether you've been sprinkled, you've been dunked, or maybe you've been both, right? Just to be extra sure. Don't forget, faith in Christ alone saves, but baptism is an ordinance. It's actually commanded of us in this passage in Matthew. You see, baptism, it's an acted declaration that I follow Jesus and that I am part of his people. It's public, and that's why it's important. And as was mentioned before, there's going to be a service here at the end of the summer where we'll be outside, and there'll be opportunity for people to get baptized. And if you haven't been baptized, I would suggest, and you want to, please talk to one of the pastors about how you can do that. Now, finally there, it says, teaching to observe all Jesus' commands. Now, that seems daunting to me. All that Jesus commands. You know, if you count them up, there's just a little less than 50 commands that Jesus makes in the Gospels. And then he affirms a good part of the Old Testament law, where there's other parts of the Old Testament law he fulfills. But he makes it easy for us because he tells us, here are the two greatest commands. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Do that, and you'll fulfill all the law. And so loving God, loving each other, it sounds simple. I have found it. It's not that simple. But again, we do get what Jesus wants us to do as we follow him as disciples. Well, my discipleship journey started at a young age. When I was 2 months old, my parents took me to church for the first time. I had perfect attendance up until eighth grade. Okay, So I heard countless sermons, right? I prayed the sinner's prayer countless times, afraid I was going to hell. I was around church a lot. But when I got older, when I got into high school and then into college, I decided I wanted to go it my own way. And so in college, I decided I wanted to live life on my terms. I wanted to define success as what I think it is. I wanted to party with my friends. I wanted to do what other people were doing that people in my church didn't do. And then one day, this guy knocked on my door. He was looking for my roommate, and we started chatting. And he asked me, "Are you a Christian?" Well, I said, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." And he started asking me some more questions, but I was just trying to get out of this conversation, and he knew it. But he invited me to start getting together with some other guys on my floor, including my roommate, who he was looking for. And so I kind of couldn't get out of it because it was in our dorm room at the college I was at. And so we studied the Gospel of John, just looking at what does Jesus say to us. And one night I was reading the Gospel of John, where it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me." I'd heard that verse. I'd memorized that verse as a kid. But as if there was a voice in the room that said, "Do you really believe that?" And I had to say, "Yes." But at the same time, I didn't want to let go. I told my roommate about that. We talked with this friend of ours who had been leading our small group. They asked me some pointed questions, and I finally said, "Yes, I want to follow Jesus." And that for me was a turning point. And it wasn't like all of a sudden things changed. But little by little, as not only would we study the Bible and pray together, but we would go out and we'd talk to others about Jesus. And eventually I started a small group of men that were that I'd gotten to know, and we started studying the Bible together. We go to church together. Then we went and did some mission projects together, and it just kind of grew from there. Discipleship, saying yes to Jesus, but saying yes one step at a time and following him. Some key, I think, pieces of being a disciple is walking together in relationship with other believers, obedience to God's word, the second one, and then doing the ministry with others, not just alone. Well, coming alongside others to help them follow Jesus, to make disciples, is central to what our church and all churches are to do. Now, let's take a look at Jesus' commission to his disciples in the Gospel of John. And here we find that it reflects the nature of Jesus' mission in coming to this earth. John 1:14 begins, that's John 1:1. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And that word "dwelt" in the original language means to pitch your tent. And basically it went back to when the children of Israel had gone out of Egypt and they were in the desert, they built this large tent, the tabernacle, and God's presence would come down and be among his people. And that was Jesus. He came to be among people. And so because of this, this is called the incarnation. Because of the incarnation, God gets us. He gets us. Now, how many of you have seen those commercials, "He Gets Us"? Anybody? Super Bowl time they had it. Now I've seen them over and over again. And they bring this out, that Jesus knew what it was like to be tired. Jesus knew what it was like to be hungry. He knew about physical pain. I mean, he was tortured and he was killed on a cross. He knew about grief. His friend Lazarus died. He also suffered injustice himself, being wrongly accused. While he was on earth, he didn't live in a castle. He didn't just see needy people for just 1 hour a day and then, you know, live an extravagant life. No, Jesus came and he moved into the neighborhood and he lived among people, common people who had wounds, who had baggage, in a broken world that was a glorious mixed up mess. Jesus got close to people. People said that he was a friend of sinners, and they actually meant that as an insult, but he embraced it. And in John's gospel, in his version of the Great Commission, he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Jesus here is sending them out, again, with his authority, but to model not only what he proclaimed, but how he lived. You see, Jesus modeled that the gospel is for the whole person. Spiritual. We need to be transformed on the inside. Physical well-being. He healed so many people. He was concerned about their basic needs. He fed people at times. And then, of course, there was that relational connection that he had with people. That is our model. I'm so encouraged by people here in this church. And specifically, I'm going to call it, David and Michelle are here, Cindy and others, Cindy and Jude, that are living where they're living because that's where God has called them to kind of incarnate, to embody the gospel for their neighbors. They're not the only ones. I know others of you too, and it doesn't matter where you're from or where you live. Some of us are from other states. Some of you are from other countries. But we're all here, joining together here at WCI, to love God, serve neighbors, and welcome nations together. And we can all be part of this. Of course, we come here, too, to eat delicious food. That's just a trademark. These services, Spanish, English, sometimes a touch of another language. But what we seek to do is, yes, live out the gospel for ourselves, embody it, but also share in life with other people. And I think we're doing this. But, of course, we have a long way to go. I know I do. But let's continue to do it and desperately cry out to God, "Lord, send your Holy Spirit so that we can be Jesus to the people around us." Well, we're not alone as we do this. We do it together. We serve together. We have teams come and serve among us, which is so great. But we want to make the redemptive power of the gospel to bear on all aspects of life and in the societies that we live. All right. Well, you've heard from Carrie. You heard from me. I just want to take a moment to pause. Just take a moment to pause and just ask the Lord, what are you saying to me today? Who is someone you can share the light and love of Jesus with? And if God brings someone to your mind, be praying for them and be looking for how God can use you in their lives. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this time, Lord, to look in your word. Thank you that you have made us lights and you have called us to be lights. Thank you, God, too, that you are transforming people, you're transforming families, you're transforming communities. Amen. Well, we're going to spend a little more time praying now. As you already heard, as a church, we have a number of opportunities coming up this summer, and we can be the light. We can be a conduit that God uses to transform somebody else. So What we want to do as we pray, we want to pray four different times. And the first time we're going to pray for our sister, Kathy Luch, who's going to come up here. She is going to be going to Guatemala, and she will be doing some ministry there. And so I'm going to let Kathy come up and tell you about it.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to be going to Guatemala this summer on a mission trip with Filters of Hope. And we're going to be giving water filters to people in the community in need who drink bad water, like out of the stream and things like that, that it's making them sick. And so we will give the filters along with the local church and share the gospel. And it's such a great way to share the gospel, and people are so open to hearing about Jesus. So just pray that we as a team connect. There's a lot of joy amongst us, and people could see the light of God in our lives. Pray that we can have the words to share the gospel clearly from the Holy Spirit. And pray for God to lead us to those families who he's preparing the hearts of ahead of time. Also practical things like that I make my plane connections and meet up with the team. Thank you.
Yes, it's always good to get there. Kathy, why don't you stay right here and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the life of Kathy. She has followed you all over the world. And thank you, Lord, that she is going to Guatemala with this team, and we do want to pray for them. Good flight connections, good travel, good health. We pray, Father, for the translators that they will have with them. Lord, that they would just be effective instruments in communication of your love and of the gospel as Kathy and her team share not only clean water, which is going to be life-changing for them, but also the good news that Jesus can clean their lives, their souls, everything. So thank you for this dear sister of ours. And Lord, we just ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, next, as many of you know, if you don't, we have a food bank the fourth Friday of the month. I know that now because I came last Friday thinking I was going to be at the food bank, but just got a chat with Misha a little bit because she's the only one here. So fourth Friday. Raise your hand if you've been involved in the food bank in some way the last year. All right. Lots of you. Okay. Again, the invitation is open. We want to pray for the food bank, but also about this outreach that we'll have at the end of this month, where we will be actually doing the food bank on Sunday, the 29th, inviting the people that usually come, and then we will have a worship service with them. And so this is one of the outreach efforts that we will be doing. So I'm going to pray for these two requests. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Father, that you have provided the means to have this food bank here. Thank you, Lord, that not only are people getting the food that they need, but also they are experiencing the love of those who come and those who are around, and they're hearing the message of Jesus. And so we do pray for them and their families. We pray, Father, that you would just continue to provide for their needs. And we also pray to Father on the 29th that we could see these new friends of ours, for some of us, some of their old friends, that come to the food bank to worship with us, Lord. And we pray that your spirit would work mightily in the lives of those who come, and we can celebrate you together. Amen.
We also, this summer, have the opportunity to reach out to our community with VBS. How many of you are planning on helping in some way VBS? You may be here, maybe there. The beautiful thing is I hope that every one of you that go to WCI would help out some way. Even if it's a Sunday, preparing some of the things that we need prepared. We will have lots and lots of opportunities, and you can go out after church and sign up. It doesn't mean you are going to be here on that Tuesday and Wednesday, because perhaps God has called you to be light in your work, and so you cannot go on that Tuesday, Wednesday. There are places for you to help. We need lots of help. So we are going to pray for VBS right now. What I'd like you to do before I get some prayer requests or before I share some of the things is, would you gather in like four people? Just turn around to each other. We're going to pray as a community. I'm going to have you pray. Just three, four people, four, five people, just grab, get together in a little group. Turn to the people behind you, whatever that looks like. We are going to pray specifically for VBS. We are praying that 100 little kids come. We are going to pray that they will hear the gospel and that their hearts would be ready to say, I want to follow Jesus. So pray for the leaders that are going to be guiding each of the groups. Also pray for volunteers from our church that we would overflow from WCI, that it would be so many of us stacking hands to make this happen. And above all, that children from our community would come. Pray that the word would get out. Okay, so we're going to take about 2 minutes, and I will close us in prayer in a moment. So go ahead and pray with your little groups. Lord, we praise you that when two or more are gathered, that you are there, that you hear the prayers of your community. And so, God, we lift up this time. We ask that you would do amazing things in the lives of these children and in turn in the lives of the families of these children. Bring, Holy Spirit, the ones that you want to come. We are asking you to move. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, stay where you are, huddled together. We're going to pray one more time. This time we will pray for the worship service at the park that Cindy was telling us about. And if I could have the worship team come forward right now. Again, there'll be baptism, and we'll just be praising the Lord, doing church in the open air. And this will be in August, so could be warm, could have a nice sunny day. But pray for those that will be around us. Pray for those who will see us, hear us, be curious, and come over. We want to be a light again, and we can do that in different ways, and this is one of the ways that we will be a light. So in your groups, would you please pray for that time, for the baptisms, for our service, but also for others to come up and join us. as we're out in the park that day.